Okay. Let's leave that aside because it's a pretty powerful conversation. What would a second magic wand be?
I don't know. That's a pretty daunting one as the first one.
Well, it is daunting. I mean, maybe that is part of, not that I want to play the role of your psychologist. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to pick your brain and follow mm-hmm. along the train of thought. And you can follow along many, many days and every day on anchorrising.com, which is where Justin Katz toils on the day's issues. He and other associates, fascinating writing they do. Maybe you feel like the time has not come for systemic and structural change for culture and mindset here in Rhode Island because you've picked your magic wand as the number one thing, which is to bust the unions.
Well, I didn't pick that arbitrarily.
But you use the term daunting.
Right. Well, you asked for the one thing, if I had a magic wand.
Right.
I think there are a series of problems, the union labor being one of them, the welfare state mentality, the effete rich liberals who think Rhode Island's a playground and they might as well have their favored policies in effect, and then the Democrat machine. I think it's probably a year and a half now ago I had an op-ed in the Providence Journal essentially laying those groups out as the coalition that is the problem. I find each particular problem that we face to be daunting because the people who are involved in them aren't going away, and by rights, they're going to fight for what they believe in. What I don't find daunting is...
Are they fighting for what they believe in or the power that they have?
Well, they believe in their power.
There's
a difference without a distinction.
I don't know. That's interesting because I don't know that they have a philosophy other than that the power has become the currency of why they are in business. It seems to be much more about power than about principle.
Well, at a certain point, that's how it is. I was thinking about that, not to skip around, but on a global scale with dictators, and the question I was trying to answer for myself is why would they care to go beyond their borders and attack the United States or what have you? The thing is, it becomes their self-definition becomes that power. That becomes essentially their core motivation, their philosophy. And I don't think concentrating on that is helpful when addressing people who come to different conclusions, whatever their motivation is, if it's self-interest or a thoroughly considered philosophy, which very few people have anyway.
True.
But the optimism that I find is that I think all of our problems can be addressed through the same mechanism, which is dispersing power to people and getting people active and involved discreetly in their own small ways in a town and then in the state and so forth. I think once people start doing that, they'll be putting pressure upwards, say on laws, education mandates, or laws that give, if God forbid, this arbitration, mandatory arbitration goes through with education. Those sorts of policies that are already in effect will be challenged.
Insane. I read that today. The American Federation of Teachers has now acquiesced to a longstanding idea that the NEA, their sister organization, has, that they're ready to resolve teacher collective bargaining issues with mandatory arbitration. Well, isn't that great? Because the three people that are going to decide, you know, how much the taxpayers are going to get hit for are going to be a member of a school committee, which is a two-thirds chance of a double agent, mm-hmm. You know, a member of the union, and then an arbitrator who generally, if you look at the research, you'll find will come down on the side of got to give them something anyway. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, you want to talk about another step toward suicide here in this state, you know, right? I mean,
yeah.
it's insane.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Well, but
of course, the General Assembly is looking for this as a solution so they can write some laws mandating arbitration to be the replacement for the idea that a contract is a contract in perpetuity until a new one is written, as if this is actually something that is going to advance the cause of the working his ass off taxpayer. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, the theories I've heard online mainly is that the goal is, and it makes a lot of sense, that they're trying to lock in contracts and such now because they see that. Groups are taxpayers are rising up because it's just getting ridiculous. the burden. And so they're trying to lock the tax burden, also the burden on our children to have to go through these systems.
Meaning what you're telling me now, I'm listening carefully, that this minor uprising from community to community is starting to resonate to the point where they want to almost take that political process, which is not a dirty word, out of the mix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in other words, arguing, you know, and having a stalemate between a town representative body like a school committee, which I think ought to be thrown away, but we can talk about that later, and a collective bargaining unit, which can be a healthy thing,
mm-hmm.
is something that you want to continue to see happen, as opposed to, okay, don't worry, we'll just toss it to mandatory arbitration, which is never a zero give to the union, mm-hmm. ever.
Right. Ever. Or let alone a negative.
Yeah, never alone taking some dough away, mm-hmm. or a benefit. All right, good. Justin Katz, anchorrising.com, a must visit on the web. Fascinating conversation. I'm enjoying it. 322, I hope you are. If you want to engage us or just sit back and just take some notes, your call, 438-WPRO, toll-free 1-800-321-WPRO. Email me at dan@630WPRO.com, at 322.